Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. You are now listening to WKAR's Current Sports on this Thursday, September 27th. 2018. We are embarking on the final weekend in the month of September. Can you believe that? Time is just flying, right? The weather's changing a bit outside. The leaves are starting to fall. The weather is a bit cooler. I'm a big fan of the fall season, as I've noted throughout this week. And I really hope you guys are having a great start to your fall season. Thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your day here on WKAR AM 870 1051. FM. And before I proceed, I want to give a big shout out and thanks to all of those who became sustaining members of the WKAR team donating throughout the last few days. We really appreciate it. I would say our fall campaign and fundraiser here at WKAR Radio was a tremendous success. And I want to give a big shout out. I just actually ran into her on my way to Studio West, Shadonna Crosby, who did an amazing job organizing everything. Shadonna, salute to you, all right? And salute to all of our listeners out there who pitched in and became an official member of the WKAR team. You all have no idea how much we appreciate it, all right? Well, when it comes to this afternoon's Thursday edition of Current Sports, we've got a fun show headed straight your way. After we got off the air on the Wednesday version of Current Sports yesterday, Jack Kerwin, Current Sports production assistant and engineer, we actually took a trip down the road, not too far from here, at the Breslin Center and got a chance to check out the Michigan State men's basketball team's first practice of the year. Now, the NCAA officially cleared teams to practice on Tuesday. Michigan State didn't practice on Tuesday. They opened up things yesterday. Tom Izzo spoke to the media, and then we got a chance to just kind of get some B-roll, get some footage of the team and see some familiar faces and some not-so-familiar faces that will be making their debuts as freshies with Tom Izzo's squad. Jack, that was your first time, I assume, being in the Michigan State practice facility and seeing the team up close and personal like that. What was that like for you, man?
Sure was. You know what? It's one of the first athletic events I think I've covered in general. So, you know, got to be a little bit aggressive to get a good spot in the media scrum. But no, other than that, it was good to see the guys. And I think Thomas Kithier, Foster Lawyer, and Aaron Henry really stood out to me as freshmen.
Yeah, certainly. I'm looking forward to seeing this team. It just really got me ready for hoops, you know, walking in that gym. You know, smelling the hardwood in the gym and seeing the players back on the hardwood and then Tom Izzo walking in just ready for some college hoops. Not to say I'm not enjoying the college football season without a doubt, but man, do I love covering Tom Izzo's team. All right. So we will actually play you audio from Tom Izzo's media availability yesterday. All right. I got a few takeaways from his about 12-minute media scrum. And you get to hear some of that in just a moment. We will also kind of preview the Michigan State and Central Michigan college football game. Michigan State sits right now as a 28.5-point favorite. Now, that's always dangerous if you plan on taking Michigan State, because Michigan State usually doesn't blow out teams, even though I think they have they have a golden opportunity to do that against Central Michigan. Not a great team. I know I said the same thing against Utah State, but yeah, Michigan State never really covers the spread. I mean, you don't see Mark D'Antonio really putting a pounding on his opposition, no matter how highly favored his team may be. So we'll preview that matchup. And of course, it is Thursday, and we love to educate our listeners out there with a bit of sports history each and every Thursday with a segment we call Throwback Thursday, where we hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. All right, multiple ways in which you can join the fun. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also weigh in on social media at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can check out the live stream right there and comment below that video. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. But you know what's next. Let's hit you now with our current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with, of course, that Michigan State men's basketball first practice as Tom Izzo was made available to the media. And again, he talked for about a little over 12 minutes. And he addressed many things, from the loss to Syracuse and how that still stings, to his health and how he feels better than ever. And he's been taking care of himself and giving himself some me time. And also, an update on the captain situation. Michigan State men's basketball already knows who its two captains are going to be. I'll let that cut out the bag later on. But he was also asked to give a response. Now, he released a statement when the news broke in August, but he was asked to give a response on camera while, you know, the voice recorders were rolling and the cameras were rolling in front of mics on the NCAA officially clearing Tom Izzo and his program of any wrongdoing, of any possible sexual assault allegations. We actually have a snippet right now coming from Tom addressing that.
If anybody ever thought or ever would think that we're going to sit here and put up with sexual abuse when it's so prevalent in our society, on college campuses, and in the program. But I think it was one more outside agency that kind of confirmed really what I had told you.
So there you have that. Izzo also went on to say, I always believed I followed every procedure and policy to the nth degree. But I think it was more outside agency that kind of confirmed really what I had told you. That's what you just heard. Then he goes on to say, I don't know. It wasn't like I went out to dinner and celebrated or anything. For me, it was something I had dealt with the whole time, and yet I was pleased they found exactly what I thought they'd find. MSU will hold Midnight Madness. I'll be rocking the mic. I can't believe this. Rocking the mic for Midnight Madness for my fourth year. Wow. Can't believe that. Midnight Madness, a week from tomorrow. I'm getting my vocal cords ready. That's always a fun event. October 5th at the Brez. Also, get this. This broke yesterday. According to the Detroit Free Press, sources tell them that Dan Gilbert is interested in buying the Detroit Tigers from the Ilitch family. Gilbert is the founder and chairman of Quicken Loans and is co-owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Asked in person on Tuesday whether he's working to buy the Tigers, Gilbert didn't deny it. In 04, Gilbert had a bid to buy the Milwaukee Brewers, but came up short a year ago. Christopher Ilitch said his family is not interested in selling the Tigers. Ron Colangelo, Vice President of Communications for the Tigers, said yesterday, quote, "We are on the record and have consistently stated that Christopher Illich is 100% committed to long-term Illich ownership of the Detroit Tigers," end quote. So we'll see if there are any updates when it comes to Dan Gilbert possibly becoming the Detroit Tigers' new owner. But right now, Chris Illich is standing firm. All right, the Detroit Tigers drop game two of the three-game set against the Minnesota Twins, 11-4. The final yesterday, Matthew Boyd allowed 6 runs in 3 2/3 innings of work. The Twins tallied 8 hits, including 3 homers against the lefty. He finishes the season with a 9-13 record and a 4.39 ERA. Now, with the loss, the Tigers dropped to 64-94, but they still have a chance to win the series in Minneapolis. They'll send Francisco Laureano to the hill tonight, 8:10 first pitch. After tonight's game, the Tigers will head to Milwaukee to try and play spoiler in the last series of the season against NL Central Division hopefuls, the Milwaukee Brewers. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, I don't know if you know this, but I believe the Brewers and the Cubs clinched playoff spots yesterday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they both did. That's correct.
I did hear that. So, man, playoff baseball right around the corner. That's when I finally start tuning into baseball. I mean, being here in Michigan, watching the Tigers just make your eyes bleed. But there is nothing like baseball in October, folks. It is exciting stuff. All right. All right, the Detroit Red Wings. Speaking of exciting, it can be hard to get excited about preseason hockey. Don't tell Jack Kerwin that, though. However, the Detroit Red Wings are opening some eyes as they improve to 6-0 in exhibition play with a 3-2 win over the Boston Bruins in overtime last night. Rookie Philip Zadina netted the game winner in the extra period. Gustav Nyquist and Dennis Chwalski scored as well. We actually have Bruins announcer Jack Edwards on the call of Zadina's goal.
Here's Glendening closing with Marchand on him. Zadina scores! The Wings never led in regulation, but they lead on the final scoreboard 24 seconds into overtime. The rookie Philip Zadina.
Again, Bruins announcer Jack Edwards on the call. The Wings continue their preseason slate with a road game tomorrow night at the Air Canada Center against the Toronto Maple Leafs before the teams play the return matchup. On Saturday at Little Caesars Arena, Detroit will host the Columbus Blue Jackets a week from tonight on October 4th in the regular season opener. I said Leafs wrong? Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Leafs.
Leaves.
It's like the singular, but you put the S on the end.
You can say leaves as well. Like
no.
The leaves outside
no.
are falling because
no.
it's
not
fall.
No.
Oh,
they're not
on.
The leaves. No, they're
really,
the leaves.
You really give me a hard time on that, Jack. Come on now. They're the leaves.
The leaves.
No, yeah, that does sound kind of crazy.
Yeah.
The leaves. Yeah. My bad, Toronto. Leafs. 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 Look, I'm getting a grammar lesson here on Current Sports.
You better expect some angry callers from the GTA right now.
There
the Greater Toronto. They're phoning in, man.
You know what? We do actually have one caller from Canada who calls in on the regular, and he doesn't watch hockey, though. So, yeah. All right. The Leafs. Leafs.
There you go.
Leafs. Say it together, everybody. If you're in your car, Leafs. Not the Leafs. All right. Vikings Rams tonight. On to more important sports. The NFL in a potential NFC Championship preview game. The Minnesota Vikings travel across the country to take on the LA Rams. The Rams, a sexy pick for this year's Super Bowl. I must admit, they look really, really good. This should be an entertaining game. I will be tuned into this one. Thursday Night Football, 8:20 p.m. is when that one starts. Minnesota, led by former Michigan State quarterback great Kirk Cousins. Minnesota comes off a questionable loss, though, to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills this past Sunday and look to fix their issues on a short week of rest against one of the best defenses in the NFL. The Rams look to stay undefeated and improve to 4-0, which would be the first time they have achieved that feat since 2001. Wow. What did they do that year? Nothing. Just make it to the Super Bowl. Pretty cool. All right, the NBA and Turner Broadcasting announced today. I may indulge in this. I must admit. I'm this big of an NBA fan. NBA and Turner Broadcasting announced that fans can purchase a portion of a game. Fans will be able to watch the fourth quarter of any out-of-market game on NBA League Pass for $1.99, so $2, right? NBA commish Adam Silver told ESPN, quote, "It's a big moment, but it's also a small first step. There are limitations in the technology right now, but we are working as quickly as possible so that at some point in the near future, fans can choose to buy any part of the game. By December, the league plans to give fans the option to buy rights to watch at the start of any quarter. They also plan on eventually selling packages of 10 minutes of game action. Silver acknowledged this will be pleasing to gamblers, right? That's a thing that I think is going to change the game when it comes to sports, period, as I think a lot of states are going to get in the game when it comes to sports gambling. I think it's long overdue. Now, maybe they have a bet in the first half, right? They'll only be interested in watching that portion. So, yeah, I could definitely see that. Adam Silver, the innovative mind that he is. Prices will start uniform, according to Silver, but he hasn't ruled out pricing games based on matchups. And speaking of the NBA, LeBron James plans to wear Cavs-colored shoes during his first game as a Los Angeles Laker. He'll sport the King colorway of the new Nike LeBron 16 shoes with a maroon and leopard print. While it may be a tip of the cap to his old team, there's mixed reaction from both fan bases. Bleacher Report Kicks wrote the news on Twitter. And under their viral tweet with a picture of the shoes, fans from both sides gave some feedback. One fan's reply said, quote, "We aren't for this over at Lakers Nation." One Cavs fan said what we all may be thinking, quote, "He misses the Cavs." So there you have that. He's expected to wear these shoes October 18th against the Portland Trail Blazers in that season opener. And this is just a ridiculous story here. Jared Hensley, the athletic director and assistant principal at Soddy Daisy High near Chattanooga, was placed on administrative leave yesterday afternoon soon after he said girls, quote, "pretty much ruin everything," end quote. That's a direct quote from Jared Hensley in a video that he made for the student body in a Wednesday morning video address to students called, quote, "A Helping of Hensley." He announces a ban on wearing athletic shorts. He acknowledges that boys will be unhappy about it, but he says he had made the rule. Here is Hensley. Here's a direct audio soundbite from this morning video address entitled "A Helping of Hensley."
"We need to make sure athletic shorts. And I know, boys, you're thinking, you know, I don't understand why it's not fair. Athletic shorts go past your knees. I didn't make the rules. Well, I kind of did. But that's the rules. So that's just what we're going to stick to. And that doesn't mean that you can wear athletic shorts. So everybody who's going, well, I got a detention for wearing athletic shorts, that's what you're going to get. And if you don't serve it, you're going to do Saturday school. So just don't wear them. And if you really want someone to blame, blame the girls. Because they pretty much ruin everything. They ruin the dress code. They ruin, well, ask Adam. Look at Eve. It's really all you really get to get to, okay? You can really go back to the beginning of time. So it'll be like that the rest of your life. Get used to it. Just keep your mouth shut. Suck it up. Follow the rules. All right? Speaking of girls and boys, PDA. We're going to need to limit that. We're going to need to limit that a little bit. Just take that down a notch, okay, or 10. All right? Save some for the honeymoon. It'll be fine. So no kissing and hugging in the halls. We've seen enough. And, you know, on your own time, I really wouldn't do that either on your own time. But, you know, as long as it's not on my time, I'm not going to be there hovering over you watching. And I'm not subjected to it. So,
again, Jared Hensley, who is the, for right now, athletic director and assistant principal at Soddy Daisy High near Chattanooga, Tennessee. Again, he has been placed on administrative leave for those comments. You can see why, right? I mean, I don't know what dude was thinking. I don't know how you can, you know, press end on that video and say, all right, that was good. That was good. All right. That was a good take here. We'll send that out to the entire student body. I mean, come on now. Just ask Adam. It'll be like that your whole life. Yeah, so Jared Hensley just really sticking his foot directly in his mouth. Can't say that, brother. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Multiple ways in which you can weigh in. pick up that phone. Dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. I see many of you already weighing in there. I'm going to do my best to get to a few of your comments. Right now, let's go to Ben right now. Ben says, looking forward to Midnight Madness again this year in 2 weeks. Well, actually next week, Ben. And we are looking forward to basketball season starting. Yeah, I am too, Ben. Again, in just a moment, you'll hear from Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, as he made comments during the first practice for the Michigan State men's basketball team. You do not want to miss that. So, again, go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Weigh in that way. Also, tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here we go.
Sometimes, you know, maybe more than anything, it was the youth. You know, we look at Kentucky and Duke, and we think all that youth because they got freshmen doing it. You know, we had four sophomores and a freshman that we started a lot. And you know, I think that experience hurt us a little bit, you know, in the big picture of things. We won a lot of games, but as I said, when you're trying to win championships, experience helps.
Shout out to Lupe Fiasco, first off. Lupe used to be my favorite hip-hop artist back when I was in college. I'll never forget the concert that he had here at Michigan State University at the auditorium. He just dropped a new album entitled Drogas Wave. And I've been very critical of his last few albums because they have been very commercial. But this latest one is pretty good. He kind of goes back to his roots of food and liquor and the cool. Shout out to Lupe, one of his instrumentals off his new album. Good stuff, Lupe. Keep it up, dude. Keep it up, man. You're going to your roots. I love that. Intermixed with this instrumental, you just heard the voice of Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. Basketball right around the corner. Now, before we play you a bit of Tom Izzo's media availability and in the headliners, you just heard him address the investigation. And one of my big takeaways from just being at practice yesterday at the Breslin Center, you know, it didn't hit me until I got to my office and began editing footage and editing the press conference from Izzo. And again, you can check out the press conference, the full press conference, the visual of that press conference on our website at WKAR.org. Right there, put that on our YouTube page, and again, it's linked on our website. So check it out there, and also you can watch some footage of the Michigan State men's basketball team starting off with like a dunk fest. They had like a layup line, but they weren't laying the ball up. They were just hammering down the football. Right now, that video actually has 578 views on our Facebook page. Again, check that out at facebook.com/WKAR News. Nick Ward has a really nice tomahawk just slam dunk with the left hand. Really cool stuff. But one of my big takeaways from yesterday's practice when I got back to the office and began editing that footage for our website and our social media page is that Michigan State basketball just looks happy right now. And that is something that you couldn't say last year. And that is arguably one of the reasons why the wheels kind of fell off in the NCAA tourney. I'm not trying to give Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team any kind of excuse here, all right? That team was built for a national championship. I don't think the Tom Izzo will ever have another team with that much talent on it. That's why the season was such a disappointment, losing in the second round to Jim Boeheim and the Syracuse Orange. I'm not trying to give them an excuse, but you could tell it weighed on Izzo. You know, being in those media rooms and Izzo being grilled by ESPN about the outside the lines investigation and Travis Walton, and Izzo basically, again, due to legal reasons and pending investigation, he couldn't comment. So, again, his back was against the wall and said, look, I have issued my statement. My thoughts are with the survivors of Larry Nassar. I'm not going to make any further comment. And then ESPN following up and saying, well, what about Travis Walton? Is he still on staff? And Izzo just basically, and you could tell he wanted to flip his wig. You could tell. Izzo was up there. I mean, he was gripping both sides of that podium. Just stick to the script. Just stick to the script. He wanted to lose his mind. And then there was the moment at Maryland, and you had the one ESPN reporter that followed him to the locker room. I mean, we covered all of that drama last year. And I remember being in the locker room and trying to talk with Miles and Jaren and Cassius and Josh and all those guys. And, you know, they were asked about it, and we had to ask them about it. And they were coached up pretty well, and they stuck to the script and said, look, man, we're just focused on basketball. We are focused on improving day by day, going out there, taking it one game at a time and winning. Simple as that. And you can tell they were annoyed by it. And it was like this dark cloud over the program. But yesterday, I mean, Cassius Winston runs into the gym yelling, smiles everywhere. Izzo walks in, and he's cracking a smile and joking around with the media members. Players just out there having fun. The team's overall emotion was very high. Very high, and you can tell they're ready. They're ready to play basketball. So that was one of my big takeaways, is that the team right now is just ready for a new season with no drama, just all hoops. And they had a lot of fun yesterday, the first practice for Michigan State men's basketball. And before we play you Tom Izzo's press conference from yesterday's practice, I do also want to acknowledge what is happening tonight here on the campus of Michigan State University at the Wharton Center. There are a few names that will be inducted into the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame. I want to give a big shout out to the class of 2018, Dale Anderson, wrestling star here at Michigan State. Savethita Fines-Koch of track and field. Rachel Miller in the sport of rowing. Bill Wehrwein of track and field as well. And, of course, as we've been talking about throughout this week, the great Jimmy Ray, African-American quarterback for the national championship-winning Michigan State football team from back in the 60s. We had Tom Shanahan, the author of Ray of Light, that profiles Jimmy's time as quarterback under the great Duffy Doherty. That book is a fascinating book. And we also had Maya Washington on earlier in the week. Maya Washington is the daughter of the great Michigan State wide receiver who went on to play for the Minnesota Vikings, Gene Washington. Maya has produced a documentary entitled Through the Banks of the Red Cedar, which was premiered on campus here at Michigan State last night at Wells Hall. Just what a time. What a time for Michigan State football, really being a game changer when it comes to ending segregation in the world of sports, and a story that not many know about. So the great Jimmy Ray will be inducted along with the other names I just mentioned of this great class. Five new members being inducted tonight at the Wharton Center into the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame. We'll have video and some reaction from a few of those inductees posted later on, courtesy of our website at WKAR.org, as well as on our Facebook page at Facebook.com/WKAR News. So I did not want to push forward without acknowledging those individuals. All right, right now, let's go to the Tom Izzo press conference. And I want to first play a snippet from Tom addressing who the captains of this year's Michigan State men's basketball team are. And I'll let the cat out the bag right now. Michigan State has two captains. Cueto, Matt McQuaid, as well as Joshua Langford. Those are your two captains. Now, I know when this news broke, when Tom stated it yesterday, there were many reacting and saying, oh, wow, Nick Ward's not a captain. Oh, wow, Cassius Winston, starting point guard for Michigan State men's basketball. Both of those guys aren't captains. I don't think it's that big of a deal, if you ask me. Okay? And to be honest, there's always a reason. Now, granted, this came team vote. Izzo certainly had some input into this as well, but everything Izzo does, I've come to learn over the years covering this man, everything Izzo does is for a reason. And I think part of the reason that Cassius Winston and Nick Ward may, and again, I'm speculating here, that's what we do on Sports Talk Radio, may be to motivate these guys, to give them an extra chip on their shoulder. I don't know, just throwing stuff at the wall right now, but that's also a thought I had when Tom announced that. I was a bit surprised that Cassius and Nick were not included in that group, along with Matt McQuaid and Joshua Langford. But maybe this is a motivational tactic that Tom is using. So we'll see. We'll see. Again, because you would like, you know, your starting point guard, especially when you look at the history of starting point guards here at Michigan State University. I mean, there usually are leaders, right? I mean, Mateen Cleaves, you know, Denzel Valentine, who was like a hybrid starting point guard, right? I mean, I can go on and on and on, but so I don't think it's that big of a deal. Here is Tom Izzo addressing the captainship of Langford and McQuaid, as well as giving an update on this upcoming year.
As far as our one announcement, we got two captains that they picked last week, and it's Josh Langford and Matt McQuaid, and the players did a good job. They talked about it. They decided there's no question those are two of our hardest working guys, but also two of our guys that have some experience. And I think that's going to be important for us as we move forward. The biggest goal of the next couple of weeks for me will be how we mix the five freshmen in with the veterans. But unlike last year where we had probably a little more talent than we have right now we have a lot more experience than we had last year. You know, we're going to probably start three juniors and maybe a senior, and I think the chances of that experience paying dividends for us is going to be important. I still felt at times last year we were a little inexperienced, and I think for the most part we're going to be a lot more experienced. We've had some guys that have taken huge jumps this summer. Again, Nick and Xavier have lost more and more weight. I look at Nick out there, he almost looks skinny to me. That's a good thing, I think, because he hasn't lost any strength.
You know, that's one of the things that we noticed, Jack. I mean, being at practice yesterday, one of the standout takeaways was the body of Nick Ward. I mean, Nick Ward has trimmed up. He looks very lean and agile. I mean, again, there's a video of him on our Facebook page, Nick just going up and throwing down a left-handed tomahawk dunk. I mean, he really, you could tell that Nick Ward really got in the gym and put an emphasis on treating his body right and getting lean. And I think that, this is the thing, there was a lot of backlash that Nick Ward got for throwing his hat in the ring of possibly going to the NBA draft. But the advantage of this, if you pull out early, well, if you pull out at the deadline, because once once that deadline passes, you got to be all in now. I mean, there's no way you're returning to college. It's a one-way door, and you got to just see where you will fall if you do fall in the draft at some point in the first round or second round. But the thing about Nick, I mean, just testing the waters, is that he was able to get feedback from NBA scouts, NBA GMs that they know what Nick needs to work on if he is going to become a legitimate candidate for the NBA draft. And Nick took that feedback that he got and received, and, you know, probably it hit him at some point that, okay, I'm not going to be picked where I want to be picked or picked at all. I don't know what they told him at the end of the day, but he was not happy regardless of what those NBA GMs and scouts had to say. So now he knows what to work on. Now he can go in the gym, hone those abilities or lack thereof that he does not have currently,
and go to work. And that's exactly what Nick did. And I think one of those criticisms may have been his body. And Nick, if you look at the Nick Ward freshman year compared to the Nick Ward now, you could tell the difference. You can tell the difference. And that's something that you made note of, Jack, when we were walking back to the car after practice. That's one of the big takeaways.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? You hit the nail right on the head talking about Nick Ward's getting evaluated by NBA scouts and whatnot. And to that effect, I also wouldn't be surprised to see Nick Ward shooting a little bit more, maybe not from the outside, but a mid-range jumper for sure. Because he's about, 6'8", 6'9"? That size as a power forward really doesn't translate too well to the NBA, especially if you don't have at least a mid-range jump shot. So I absolutely think we'll see his game kind of evolve this season.
I'm excited for Nick Ward. I mean, you know, Nick Ward was one of those players that many of us tremendously underestimated, and he began to slowly but surely develop this really nice arsenal of post moves and really began ascending his game. And now he has become a go-to weapon, I think. He's going to become a go-to weapon this upcoming season for Michigan State men's basketball. When it comes to Matt McQuaid and Josh Langford, also something that you actually pointed out this, Jack, and I didn't notice it until you pointed it out, but Josh Langford has changed his jump shot. It doesn't come from like the hip anymore and elbow tight end. It's still similar in a way, but the release point is right above the eyes now. And sure. I'm curious to see how that translates this upcoming season. I don't know if I dig it. I think it's a little too low when it comes to the release point. I don't know. What do you think of it?
You know what? I told you about this yesterday for sure. I think it's in an attempt to improve his outside shooting for sure, because he was decent from mid-range last year.
Right.
So, you know what? I guess before I diagnose, you know, what I think of the shot, I'd need to see him try it in a couple games. And if his shooting really looks improved, then, you know, I guess I can't have any qualms about it, because, you know, to your point, it does look kind of like an ugly jump shot. And I thought his jump shot looked pretty natural last year. The problem is it didn't really go in. So.
Yeah, it was just, it looks awkward. When I saw it yesterday at practice, I just said, oh, that's an awkward release. I really thought his jump shot that he's been working with since he's been here is very textbook. It's pretty. It's pretty. And we all know that Josh Langford, the three really isn't his game. He's more of a mid-range jump shooter. And I didn't think that. I don't know. It's just me, you know, being a ball player, former ball player myself. I don't think that you needed to be that dramatic to change the whole shot. We'll see if it works. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. It's kind of like, you know, Tiger Woods, when Tiger decided to change his swing and he went through this adjustment period where he would shank some in the woods and at times it would look nice and beautiful. And now Tiger has just said, I don't even need a swing coach now. I'm just going out there and just playing my game and keeping it real simple. So we'll see what happens in that regard. Also, here are some expanded comments from Tom Izzo as he hits on various different topics here, including now the loss of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges to the NBA, and that's where we start.
And Miles and Jaren were the two of the most, as you guys know, unselfish guys in America. But I think sometimes, you know, maybe more than anything, it was the youth. You know, we look at Kentucky and Duke and we think all that youth because they got freshmen doing it. You know, we had four sophomores and a freshman that we started a lot. And you know, I think that experience hurt us a little bit, you know, in the big picture of things. We won a lot of games. But as I said, when you're trying to win championships, experience helps. If you look last year, even teams that got there are teams that have more experience. So do I think it could help us? I mean, I'm going to miss that shot blocker. I'm going to miss that guy that can jump up and look down at the rim. But at the same time, I've been really pleased with the summer and the fall. The summer and the fall, every year has been pretty good in the last 4 or 5 years. But this year, I think I saw Cassius get stronger and spend a little more time on things that he needed to work on. Nick had as good a summer and fall as I could ask him. And that is very important. I think what he did is he took that NBA stuff, and as we all know, we all have kids, and we all understand that sometimes hearing something from somebody else is maybe as important or more important than hearing it from the parent or the coach. And I think Nick looked at that situation. Some people told him some things he had to improve on. His quickness, his weight, his ability, his agileness to guard different people. And he has worked on his shooting a lot. He's a much, much better shooter. That doesn't mean he's a three-point shooter, but he's a much, much better shooter than he was. So I think, in general, this group has got like seven veterans that have played a lot of basketball. Some were hurt, like Kenny and McQuaid missed the summer two summers ago. And, you know, I think right now we've got the healthiest, best core of guys back that we've had in a while.
Is Cassius ready to make this his team? And is that what you want?
I do want that. I do think that any point guard, quarterback, and he's becoming and trying to become more vocal. It's not something that is just natural to him. But we forget what kind of year Cassius had. You know, I got calls from some magazine. Who's the best shooter in the Big Ten? Who's the best shooter in the country? And like an idiot, I'm listing him as one, and then I checked the stats, and he might, in the conference, he shot 53% from three last year. So when you think of that, that's incredible. And his assists were, you know, were ranked very high. And now the next step is verbally, does he take a team over? Does he run a team? Does he motivate a team? Does he drag a team with him? You know, I think those are things that a good quarterback, a good point guard have to do. And I think he's ready to do that. We'll find out if he does do that. I talked to him two or three times when he was down. And, you know, I think one thing, rivalries are rivalries, but I have a great appreciation for what he went through. And I called him the first night, and we touched base more than two or three times during his absence. Now it sounds like he's back better than ever. So God bless what happened to him. And thank God he's going to be all right. I mean, I think all coaches worry about their health. And so I was worried for him because he's a guy that does it the right way. And he's done a good job. And I think, like always, though, we never take care of ourselves like we should.
Was that a wake-up call to you at all?
You know, I don't know if it was a wake-up call. I mean, I feel like I'm trying to do most of the things that I can do. Sometimes you're throwing a curve here and there, but, you know, I don't know if coaches are always going to worry about more things than they should, try to control more things than they should. But for the most part, yeah, I think anytime something happens, you kind of look in the mirror and say, you know, what am I doing? I'm getting older. I'm doing this and that. Maybe that motivated me a little bit, but for the most part, I'm just happy he's okay, and I mean that sincerely.
That's great stuff. Tom Izzo being asked about whether or not he has reached out to John Beilein, head coach of the Michigan men's basketball team, after his surgery, his bypass surgery concerning his heart. That's great stuff. Izzo has talked to him at least five times, and they've been in contact. I love that. That's called class. Rivalry aside, you know, Tom does not like U of M. John Beilein does not like MSU, but there is a mutual respect in just being a good human being, and that's certainly what Beilein and Izzo have shown throughout their careers, in my estimation. All right, that's great stuff there. And also, I have to note this as well. There was one player, as the team was warming up before the practice, one player that I just couldn't stop looking at because he's just so huge and so lengthy. And we were trying to figure out who that player was, Jack, but Marcus Bingham Jr., 6'11", just call him 7 feet, 235 pounds, not real muscular, but his length, I mean, if he was to walk inside the Studio West, he wouldn't clear the doorway. He would have to duck his head trying to get in here to do an interview here on Current Sports. I mean, that dude is tall, isn't he?
He's a lanky dude for sure. But I mean, right now he's so skinny, his eyes are almost single file. So
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, he's
like
gonna
Manute
need
Bowl. He's like Manute. You ever seen Manute Bowl?
Yeah,
basketball?
He's like 7'7". I think he was listed at like 200 pounds. That was
right.
Crazy.
Exactly. You got to put on some weight. But yeah, he's got kind of like a body of a type of Tayshaun Prince. You know, tall, but because Tayshaun, I believe, also was 7 feet. Maybe I have to double check on that. I think. I mean, let me just do a quick Google right here. I got this one, Jack. I'll pull the heavyweight on this one here. Let me see. Tayshaun Prince, height. Yeah, his wingspan was 7'2". His height was 6'9". So he was 2 inches short of 7 feet. Yeah, Tayshaun was a big dude as well. And, yeah, Marcus Bingham Jr. listed at 6'11". Wow. All right. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will briefly give a preview of the Michigan State and Central Michigan matchup. Michigan State, a 28.5-point favorite in this game on Saturday afternoon. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You just heard from Tom Izzo during yesterday's first official practice of the new season for the Michigan State men's basketball team. Again, if you want to check out that entire presser, just go to WKAR.org or visit Facebook.com/WKAR News, as you can also check out a visual of some of the highlights that we shot during that practice. Let's talk some college football. And before I do, though, there is one comment I do want to address here on our Facebook page. Again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. Call in 517-355-WKAR. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News or tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Coming from our Facebook page, James weighs in and says, I'm going to do what my mom says. If I ain't got nothing nice to say, I ain't going to say nothing at all, Tom Izzo. And the reason I bring this comment up is because I feel like, because I remember, I will never forget this, when I was downtown Detroit and we covered that Michigan State men's basketball loss to Syracuse. I was courtside alongside former current sports engineer Ian Hawley, and we went in that locker room, and there were so many tears, and Tom Izzo was struggling to find the words to put in perspective that loss. And I remember driving, because that night I actually did Jack Ebling's press pass on Fox as well, and I went straight from the locker room, and I'm rushing to my car and driving from and also I had to pick up my pup as well. I went from Little Caesars Arena to my grandmother's to pick up the pup. And then I drove directly with the pup to Fox Studios. My dog was actually in the studio while I did the show. Shout out to the PAs at the time at Jack Ebling's press pass who watched my dog during that taping. That was an interesting night. But I remember driving from Detroit to Lansing that night, and I was tuned into various sports talk radio shows in Detroit to get immediate reaction from that loss, and there were so many personalities and so many callers who called in just bashing Tom Izzo. I mean, giving it to him, saying that, okay, he's over the hill. He has lost touch with how to coach the game in 2018. He needs to be let go. They were highly critical of Tom Izzo. And I still believe that there are some who are still attending therapy sessions due to that loss to Syracuse, and some who still have this angst and have this distaste. Don't get me wrong, it was a bad loss. And I came on here, and we've all criticized, right, the move or lack thereof of not having Jaren Jackson Jr. in the game. Not having, a Nick Ward in the paint and going with Ben Carter instead. Hindsight is 2020, and my eyes are very clear and many of you are very clear in looking back at that moment and saying that, yeah, Jaren should have been in a game. Nick should have been in a game. And I'm just wondering, will Spartan fans ever get over that loss? I don't know. I think that wound was cut so deep because of, again, expectations breed your reaction, right? And these expectations were so high for Michigan State. It was national championship or bust. Tum-tum Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., famed captain of this Michigan State men's basketball team. I remember we did a story on, you know, how they break the huddle during practice last season with Natty, right? Nothing short of a national championship. Tom Izzo still searching for that first national championship in 18 years, now 19, right? Jack, will fans ever get over this? Because I think the wound was cut so deep that there are some fans that won't let this go until Izzo is the final team in April hoisting up that national championship. I know you're a student now, and I'm curious, where were you watching that game at? And what was the reaction from you and your homies?
I was watching it in my apartment, just with my buddies, probably 8 to 10 of us. And I felt sick after the game, to be honest with you. That's the worst feeling I've had as a Spartan probably in my now 2.5 years almost here. And you know what? I got to be honest. I'm one of those people for sure.
You won't get over that.
No, absolutely not. Because it dates back to two of the last 3 years. The state was one of the hot picks to win the national title, you know, dating back to the, I guess it would have been 2016, the 2015-2016 season with Zell and Bryn Forbes and Matt Costello.
Right.
And they were out in the first weekend. And then they were out in the first weekend
last year. Middle Tennessee State, right?
And they've been out in the first weekend the past 3 seasons. So I absolutely understand the frustration with Tom Izzo right now. Am I calling for Tom Izzo's job? No. But I think, for one thing, I do think if this season they don't get out of the first weekend of the tournament, he should be coaching for his job next season. Absolutely.
He should be on the hot seat, you think?
Yes.
Okay. I know Alec Rio is also behind the glass. I haven't heard from Alec during today's show. Alec, where were you at when that game took place, and what was your reaction with the homies?
I was actually at an Asian buffet restaurant watching the rest of the game with a couple of my roommates.
Pause. Hold on. That is so random.
Asian
buffet restaurant.
Yeah, I remember I had egg drop soup, and I was like watching the game, and I could not believe my eyes because it was the fourth quarter and we were down by a decent amount, and I was just dumbfounded. Me and my roommates were all dumbfounded at this Asian buffet restaurant because we were like, I can't believe it. I mean, hey, what we had to eat just kind of made up for that loss, but I mean,
right.
Still, oh, I just could not believe that we lost to Syracuse. But I mean, honestly, even if we would have moved on, I wouldn't have seen us beaten Duke, considering they had Marvin Bagley III and Grayson Allen was having an exceptional tournament. Honestly, I didn't see us moving past that, but still losing to Syracuse is just something you don't want to see out of the program, especially with the players that you have.
Added to the fact that Syracuse was a team that wasn't even supposed to make the tournament, right? I mean, they got in by the skin of their teeth, right? And Tom Izzo and Michigan State loses to them. So, yeah, I just feel like there are – so, Alec, real quick, just are you also like Jack? And that's one of those games that you won't ever get over.
Definitely that game and the game against Middle Tennessee. Both of those games, they're just, if we keep seeing disappointment seasons at one after another, you got to start thinking, okay, well, are we just going to keep making progress? Or because that's what it's going to come down to. And so that's why I agree with Jack. Like, I feel like if we don't get out of the first weekend this upcoming tournament, then, I mean, it's a pretty safe assumption because we're our premier basketball program. And the fact that we've been having these disappointing seasons like this over and over again, something's got to give, you know?
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I'm kind of with you guys. I mean, I think that when you have a team of that kind of talent and you fall like that, it should leave a bad taste in the mouths of the fans who support the program, without a doubt. And we'll see what happens this year. You know, I'm not giving Tom Izzo a mulligan, but if Michigan State cannot at least, get out of the first weekend this season, then we can have some serious conversations about, you know, where this program is right now and what kind of adjustment should be made. But until then, I mean, we're talking about a basketball Hall of Fame coach, Tom Izzo. He's a great basketball mind. You know, he is Michigan State basketball. All right, with 4 minutes left here, again, I just wanted to acknowledge, and again, we'll give you an expanded preview of Michigan State and CMU tomorrow. But again, I don't know how much you can say. I mean, CMU is a bad team. I mean, they are ranked offensively and defensively among the nation's worst. I believe in both categories, they are like 120 plus in the rankings when it comes to defense and offense. This is a bad college football team. I don't expect this one to be close. And I think at, you know, maybe in the second half, if it is out of hand, why not throw in Rocky Lombardi, your backup quarterback, get him some reps? I don't even know if you, again, and Mark Antonio was asked whether or not LJ Scott is ready to play. And I I'm paraphrasing here, but Mark Antonio says something like, you know, maybe, you know, maybe, maybe not, something like that. So I don't think you need LJ Scott to beat Central Michigan University. I think you'll see some backups come into play come that second half. So we'll give you an expanded preview of Michigan State and CMU on tomorrow's Current Sports, and we'll have a wider picture look at some of the sexier games of the college football slate for that weekend, as well as a look at the Big Ten Conference. And then, of course, you have the University of Michigan, Jim Harbaugh and company. They also have a game on Saturday, and Michigan will be playing Northwestern. Northwestern will be coming to the Big House. That will be a 4:30 p.m. kick time for the Wildcats and the Wolverines. But you know what? I said this is going to happen. I think we should, like, whenever I'm right on something, or any of us are right on something, we should, like, play Michael Jackson's Remember the Time and then play a throwback bite of that Remember the Time take, because I said this is going to happen. Michigan loses to Notre Dame, but all things will be right in the minds of the Michigan football fan base and even some national analysts out there, because Michigan will play these lollipop teams like Western, SMU, Nebraska, and they will look at those three games and say, oh, Michigan is back on track. They're making strides. Look at how they've played in these last few games. They've played nobody. Yet the Michigan fan base is back on the wagon like, oh, Jim Harbaugh knew he was going to get it together. Then I'm watching the Big Ten Network yesterday, and they are so high on Michigan being a legit contender in the Big Ten East. And I'm sitting here still saying, call me when you have played and beaten somebody. Because Nebraska, SMU, and Western, my thoughts haven't changed from after that Michigan lost to Notre Dame. All right, so when they beat an Ohio State, Michigan State, then we'll talk. Then we'll talk. And Wisconsin, then we'll talk. But right now, let's pump the brakes. You know, we joked yesterday with Adam Biggers about Michigan fans being delusional, and he went the other way. I'm going the opposite way of that. All right, we'll talk all things college football in tomorrow's Current Sports. Until then, much thanks to all of the Current Sports team behind the glass. Much love to you guys, as well as all of our listeners out there. Same time, same place on a Friday. Be easy, people.